Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Baba Metzia, Daf Gimel, the first parak, Shnei Mochsin. This parak has been dedicated in memory of Mr. Moishe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the thetops are going to focus on number one. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah's ruling to divide the cloak does not accord with Rabbi Yossi's ruling, where two people deposited money with someone, one leaving one mana and the other leaving two mana, and they later dispute who left two mana. The Rabbanan say the third mana is withheld until proof is brought. But Rabbi Yossi says, Imken mahifsid ramai. If so, what does the deceiver lose by deceiving? Ela hakol yehemunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rather, it all should be set aside until Eliyahu comes to induce him to confess. Here too, the cloak should be withheld. Although the Rabbanan agree the disputed mana is withheld, the Gemara explains that it is because it definitely belongs to only one of them and cannot be divided. In our mission, it's possible they picked up the talis simultaneously and jointly own it. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yossi only penalizes the deceiver when there definitely is a deceiver. In our Mishnah, where each party may truly believe he's the owner, Rabbi Yossi would agree to divide it. Another answer is given, but is rejected. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya taught that if one claims a mana, 100 zuz, from his fellow, which the defendant denies completely, and Adim testify that he owes 50 zuz, he pays the 50 zuz and swears on the remainder, like one who confesses to part of a claim. For the admission of his own mouth should not be greater than the testimony of Adim based on a Kal Vachomer. Without a Kal Vachomer, one could argue that the Torah only opposed a Shavua for a motive of mixas. As we'll see, Rabbi explains, we're not concerned a motive of mixas would swear falsely because he's not trying to steal, but to stall. So the Shavua deters him. But someone who fully denied his debt and was discredited by Adim perhaps should not swear. The Kal Vachomer teaches otherwise, which is later explained, Ma piv she'im mechaivu knas, mechaivu shvua, if the admission of one's mouth, which cannot obligate him in a penalty, nevertheless obligates him in a shvua of motiv mixas, Adim she'mechaivin oso knas, eno din she'mechaivin oso shvua, then Adim, who can obligate him in a penalty, is it not certain that they obligate him in a shvua through testifying to part of the claim? And point number three, Rabba asked, Mithnei Amra Torah motiv mixas atani yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to part of a claim must swear about his denial? He should be exempt for having volunteered the partial admission. He answered, Chazake in Adamei's Panav Bifnei Balchovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Tosos explains because the creditor knows he's lying. One who partially admits does so because he cannot bring himself to fully deny the debt. According to Rashi, the Gemara then explains that the reason we do not say that since he's willing to lie and steal part of the debt, he would also swear falsely, is because this person would really want to admit to the full debt. He did not because he's merely evading the creditor to stall until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear, so he admits completely. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara asks that the Mishnah's ruling to divide the cloak does not accord with Rabbi Yossi's ruling, where two people deposit money with someone, one leaving one mana and the other leaving two mana, and they later dispute who left two mana. The Rabbanan say the third mana is withheld until proof is brought. But Rabbi Yossi says, Imken mahifsid ramai. If so, what does the deceiver lose by deceiving? Ela hakol yehemunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rather, it all should be set aside until Eliyahu comes to induce him to confess. Here too, the cloak should be withheld. Although the Rabbanan agree the disputed mana is withheld, the Gemara explains that it is because it definitely belongs to only one of them and cannot be divided. In our mission, it's possible they picked up the talis simultaneously and jointly own it. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yossi only penalizes the deceiver when there definitely is a deceiver. In our Mishnah, where each party may truly believe he's the owner, Rabbi Yossi would agree to divide it. Another answer is given, but is rejected. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya taught that if one claims a mana, 100 zuz, from his fellow, which the defendant denies completely, and Adim testified that he owes 50 zuz, he pays the 50 zuz and swears on the remainder, like one who confesses to part of a claim. For the admission of his own mouth should not be greater than the testimony of Adim based on a Kal Vachomer. Without a Kal Vachomer, one could argue that the Torah only opposed a Shavua for a motive of mixas. As we'll see, Rabbi explains, we're not concerned a motive of mixas would swear falsely because he's not trying to steal, but to stall. So the Shavua deters him. But someone who fully denied his debt and was discredited by Adim perhaps should not swear. The Kal Vachomer teaches otherwise, which is later explained, Ma piv she'im mechaivu knas, mechaivu shvua, if the admission of one's mouth, which cannot obligate him in a penalty, nevertheless obligates him in a shvua of motiv mixas, Edim Shmechayven Oso Knas Eino Din Shmechayven Oso Shvua, then Edim who can obligate him in a penalty, is it not certain that they obligate him in a Shvua through testifying to part of the claim? And point number three, Rabbah asked, Mifnei Amr Torah Modu B'Mikzah Satani Yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to part of a claim must swear about his denial? He should be exempt for having volunteered the partial admission. He answered, Chazakein Adameis Panav Bifnei Balchovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Tosos explains, because the creditor knows he's lying. One who partially admits does so because he cannot bring himself to fully deny the debt. According to Rashi, the Gemara then explains that the reason we do not say that since he's willing to lie and steal part of the debt, he would also swear falsely, is because this person would really want to admit to the full debt. He did not because he's merely evading the creditor to stall until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear, so he admits completely. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Gemal, a camel. A camel. So here goes. The camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shvua on the remainder, but had no room for the man who was motive but mixes to his creditor because he wasn't brazen enough to deny his total obligation. Once again, slow motion. The camel. That must mean we're on Daf Gimel. The camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Which reminds us, Gemara asks, that the Mishnah's ruling to divide the cloak does not accord with Rabbi Yossi's ruling, where two people deposited money with someone, one leaving one mana and the other leaving two mana, and they later dispute who left two mana. The Rabbans say the third mana is withheld until proof is brought, but Rabbi Yossi says, Im ken mahip sid rama. If so, what does the deceiver lose by deceiving? El hakol ye munach ad sheyavu Eliyahu. Rather, it should all be set aside until Eliyahu comes to induce him to confess. Here too, the cloak should be withheld. The Gemara answers that in the coin case, it's because the third coin definitely belongs to only one of them and cannot be divided. In our Mishnah, it's possible they picked up the cloak simultaneously and jointly own it. Since each party may truly believe he's the owner, Rabbi Yossi would agree to divide it. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shavua on the remainder, which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya taught that if one claims a mana, which is 100 zuz, from his fellow, which the defendant denies completely, and witnesses testify that he owes 50 zuz, he pays the 50 zuz and swears on the remainder, like one who confesses to part of a claim. For the admission of his own mouth should not be greater than the testimony of Edim based on a Kal Vachomer. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shvua on the remainder, but had no room for the man who was motive but mixes to his creditor because he wasn't brazen enough to deny his total obligation. Which reminds us, Rabbah asks, why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? He should be exempt for having volunteered the partial admission. He answered, Chazakein Adameis Panav Bifnei Baal Chovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. The Gemara explains that the reason we do not say, since he's willing to lie and steal part of the debt, he would also swear falsely, is because this person would really want to admit to the full debt. He didn't because he's merely evading the creditor to stall until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear, so he admits completely. So once again, the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shvua on the remainder, but had no room for the man who was motive but mixes to his creditor because he wasn't brazen enough to deny his total obligation. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabai with a lot of keys. So here goes. When the gabai with a lot of keys, gabai with a lot of keys, that must be more Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. When the gabai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda told Rava about an incident of a Jew who was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, and he obligated him to pay. Rava told him to retract based on a brisa. If a Jew was forced by idolaters to show them his fellow's money, pater, he's exempt. But if he took the money and gave it to the idolater by hand, he is chayiv. So when the gabbai with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the base midrash, the rabbi giving shir getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Rav Kahana fleeing to Eretz Yisrael, and then sitting in Rabbi Yochanan's shir, being advised not to challenge Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years. The Gemara relates what caused Rav Kahana to do so, and then his subsequent death and revival. So when the guy with a lot of keys was forced to show the idolater where the rabbi kept his money in his study, he was shocked when he saw through the window into the base midrash the rabbi giving shir, getting challenged by a rabbi sitting in the seventh row, as a river flooded a stolen field outside and started flooding the room, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shatfanar, if someone stole a field and a river flooded it and destroyed it, the robber can say to the owner, behold, what is yours is before you. Land cannot be legally stolen, so it remains in the owner's possession. Therefore, any damage to the land unrelated to the robbery is not the robber's responsibility. In a brayse about the same case, Rabbi Yehazar says, Chayv lamid lo sada acher, he is obligated to provide him with another field. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the simon Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. The two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of Kichel. Kichel? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of Kichel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses one who claims to be owed a mana from his fellow who responds that he does not know. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he must pay, bari b'shema, bari adif, where the claimant is certain and the defendant is uncertain, the claimant who is certain is stronger. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say he's exempt, uke mamona b'chetzlis mare, keep the money in its current owner's possession until proof is brought. So the two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kichel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, didn't wake up the shepherd who's dreaming of sheep jumping over a kichel and wasn't aware of the thief returning a stolen sheep to the pen, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if one stole a sheep from someone's flock and returned it without notifying the owner, he remains responsible if it dies or it's stolen, meaning it remains in his domain until its proper return. If the owner was unaware of the theft and its return, and counted the flock and found it complete, the thief is exempt from future damages. Four opinions are presented regarding returning stolen sheep, which impact the interpretation of the Mishnah. So the two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kichel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, didn't wake up the shepherd who was dreaming of sheep jumping over a kichel, and wasn't aware of the thief returning a stolen sheep to the pen, and ignored the shepherd's wife who was trying to sell them some woolen garments, telling them to conceal them, which reminds us, the Mishnah details materials that may be purchased from women without suspicion, they were taken from their husbands without permission, and adds, but any woman who told the purchaser to conceal his purchase is prohibited to purchase it because it appears the item was stolen. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. Well, the kite enthusiast, kite, that must be more Daf Kuf Yud Tes. While the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, which reminds us, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda argue about destroying mamon masor, the property of an informer. One held mutar abdul biyad, it is permitted to destroy his property with one's hand, directly because his money shouldn't be more stringent than his body. Since it's permitted to kill him, it stands to reason his property may certainly be destroyed. The other held asul abdul, it's forbidden to destroy because perhaps he'll have righteous descendants. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth of shavapruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol gozel's chaver o shava pruta ki lo nota nishmas mimenu." Anyone who steals a pruta's worth from his fellow is as if he took his soul from him. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth of shava pruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, the craftsman he had commissioned to build him some more kites was busy at work and keeping the shavings, which reminds us, the final Mishnah lists materials left over from various crafts, such as threads removed by a launderer, a tailor, and others, and teaches which belong to the craftsman because the owner of the original material is not particular about them, and which belong to the owner. Shavings removed by small tools belong to the carpenter, but those removed by a hatchet belong to the owner. It concludes, V'imayo ose etzo baal bais, if he was working on the owner's property, afha nasarim shel baal bais, even the sawdust from drilling belongs to the owner. Daf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. Because of the conflicts in front of the tallest seller's house, that must be on Daf Beis, bais. Because of the conflicts in front of the tallest seller's house involving two men holding on to opposite sides of a tallest, each claiming I found it, which reminds us. The opening Mishnah states, Shnaim ochsim betalis. Two people came before a basin holding a cloak. Ze omer ani mitzasiya, ve ze omer ani mitzasiya. This one says, I found it. This one says, I found it. Ze omer kula shali, ve ze omer kula shali. This one says, it's all mine. And this one says, it's all mine. The law is that each one swears, she'en lo babachos mechetzia, that he owns not less than half of it, v'yecholoku, and they divide it. So, because of the conflicts in front of the tallis seller's house, involving two men holding on to opposite sides of a tallis, each claiming, I found it, and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a talus, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Mishnah describes two cases where each claims, I found it, and where each claims, it's all mine. After the first suggestion is rejected, it concludes, Reisha b'metziya v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. The first case of, I found it, refers to a found cloak, and the second case, where they said, it's all mine, refers to a case of buying and selling, where each claims to be the buyer. The Gemara explains that if only one case was taught, one might have thought that only in that case one might rationalize that he's not stealing outright. So, because of the conflicts in front of the tallis seller's house, involving two men holding onto opposite sides of a tallis, each claiming, I found it, and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a tallis, a basin was set up where taking a shvuah was required by the rabbanan to divide the items to prevent people from grabbing cloaks of others and claiming it is theirs, which reminds us. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah which rules the cloak is divided with a shvuah does not accord with Simchas, who holds Mamon HaMutal B'Safek Cholkin below shvuah. Money whose ownership is uncertain is divided between them without a shvuah. The Gemara concludes that the shvuah is a special tekana de Rabbanan, so that every person should not go and seize his fellow's cloak and claim, it's mine. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we machlok is whether Takanas HaShuk was instituted, allowing one who bought stolen goods from a thief to collect compensation from the owner? That's on daf Kuftes Vav. Good. Number 2, which of the one Rabbi Chiyo holds, one swears when part of a debt is established by Edim based on a Kal V'Chomer? That's on daf Gimel Bab Metzia. Good. Number 3, which of the reasons why the Mishnah included both cases of two people claiming to find a lost talis and two people claiming to buy the same item? That's on daf Beis and Bab Metzia. Good. Number 4, which of the reasons if someone shows someone else's field to agents of the king who are seeking property to seize, causing them to confiscate it, he's liable to pay? That's on daf Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 5, which of the reasons in the case of a river flooding stolen land and the question if karka nigzelis, if land can be stolen? That's on daf Kufiyat Zayin. Good. Number 6, which daf do we have in the Mishnah of Shnaim Ochazim Metalis? That's on daf Beis and Bav Metzia. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn stealing even just a sheva pruta from someone is like taking away his neshama from him? That's on daf Kufiyat Tes. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn if one went down to save his fellow's donkey from the river and his own donkey came up from the river on its own, can he still claim reimbursement? That's on daf Kuftez Zayin. Good. Number 9, which daf do we learn why Rebbe Yossi holds in a case of a disputed third coin that all three coins should be put away, but agrees in the case of a talis yachaloku? That's on daf Gimel Bav Metzia. Good. Number 10, which daf do we learn the Rabbanu were matakana shavua, so that people should not go around grabbing cloaks off others and then claiming it's theirs? That's on daf Beis and Bav Metzia. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.